Deva Sridevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chena Rotamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tata Jaya Mudiraye. Nashtapesha Padeshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavata Tamashloke. Bhakti Bhavati Nashtaki. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, Text Number 15, The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. Etareva hi vijnanam antatayikena yena yat stityupatyapyayan pasyet bhavanam chigunatmanam etareva hi vijnanam Natatayikena yena yat Stityutpatyapyayan pasyet Bhavanam chigunatmanam Chant Etat This Eva Indeed He Actually Vijnanam Realize knowledge Na, not. Tata, in that way. Ekena, by the one. Personality of Godhead. Yena, by whom? Yet, which? Universe. Stiti, maintenance. Utpati, creation. Apyayan, annihilation. Pashyet, one should see. Bhavanam, of all material elements. Triguna, of the three modes of nature. Atmanam, composed. Translation. When one no longer sees the 28 separated material elements which arise from a single cause, but rather sees the cause itself, the personality of Godhead. At that time, one's direct experience is called vijnana, or self-realization. Purport. The difference between jnana, ordinary Vedic knowledge, and vijnana, self-realization, can be understood as follows. A conditioned soul, although cultivating Vedic knowledge, continues to identify himself to some extent with the material body and mind, and consequently with the material universe. In trying to understand the world he lives in, the conditioned soul learns through Vedic knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the one supreme cause of all material manifestations. He comes to understand the world around him, which he accepts more or less as his world. As he progresses in spiritualization, breaking through the barrier of bodily identification and realizes the existence of the eternal soul, he gradually identifies himself as part and parcel of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. At that time, he is no longer interested in the personality of Godhead merely as the supreme explanation of the material world. Rather, he begins to reorient his entire mode of consciousness so that the central object of his attention is the personality of Godhead. Such a reorientation is required since the Supreme Lord is the factual center and cause of everything. A self-realized soul in the stage of vijnana thus experiences the personality of Godhead, not merely as the creator of the material world, but as a supreme living entity existing blissfully in his own eternal context. As one progresses in one's realization of the Supreme Lord in his own abode in the spiritual sky, and gradually becomes disinterested in the material universe and ceases to define the Supreme Lord in terms of his temporary manifestations. A self-realized soul in the stage of vijnana is not at all attracted by objects that are created, maintained, and ultimately destroyed. The stage of jnana is the preliminary stage of knowledge for those still identifying themselves in terms of the material universe, whereas vijnana is the mature stage of knowledge for those who see themselves as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Mukam karoti vacharam bhangam langhayate girim yakripam tamam vande shi gurum jinatarinam om jnana tivrandasya jnanan shanan shalakaya chakshu meditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So we are reading from Uddhava Gita, instructions of Lord Krishna to Uddhava. It is an expansion of Bhagavad Gita, instructions by Lord Krishna to Arjuna. So this chapter is entitled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. And the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Transcendental Knowledge. So in the fourth chapter, there is a verse 35, Yatgatva Napunarmoham evam yasasi pandava yena bhutani sheshani jakshas yatman yato mayi. That when you have understood this knowledge, you will know that all living entities are part of me, they are in me, and they are mine. And even if you're the most sinful of sinners, if you're in this boat of transcendental knowledge, then you'll be able to cross over the ocean of material existence. So that knowledge is the one. In this verse, there's so many elements. There's 28 analysis. This is Sankhya philosophy, 28 separated material elements. But there is a one which is supreme. And if you know that one, Krishna says also in the fourth chapter, janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tatvata chakta deham punarjanma naiti mameti surjana. That if you know that one, if you know his birth, if you know his activities, you will not come back again to this material world. So here there's analysis of 28 elements. In the previous verse, there's a combination of 9, 11, 5, and 3. If one sees this in all living entities, and ultimately one element within those 28, then that is vijnana. Jnana is to know what is the 28 elements. So this adds up to 28, 9, 11, 5, and 3. And I think you'll find out about those later on, what those are, or maybe you already did. But the one element is the most important, and that is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. So if you know Krishna, this is vijnana. So in this class, we're going to analyze what is vijnana, or self-realization, from different angles of vision. Srila Prabhupada, he said that you should understand this philosophy from different angles of vision. So there is a progression from before you're a devotee, and then you go to karma, you go to jnana, you go to yoga, and finally to bhakti. So in the purport, it is said, the difference between jnana and vijnana can be understood as follows. A conditioned soul, although cultivating Vedic knowledge, continues to identify himself to some extent with the material body and mind, and consequently with the material universe. In trying to understand the world he lives in, the conditioned soul learns through Vedic knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the one supreme cause of all material manifestations. He comes to understand the world around him, which he accepts more or less as his world. So we're in this world, and people who are trying to advance in spiritual life, they follow different paths of karma or jnana or yoga or bhakti. But there are those who don't follow any paths, and they also make spiritual advancement, but by the process of being kicked by Maya. We have chosen the easier path of the process of love, or ananda, kevala ananda kanda. So an example is given of a man. He had a wife, a very nice wife, but he was always going to a prostitute. So the wife was saying, what does she have that I don't have? So he said, well, you know, she cooks much better than you. So the wife, then she made a real wonderful feast. The husband ate it, but the husband still went to the prostitute. So then the next day she asked, well, what does she have? He said, yes, you're cooking better, but there is something that she has that you don't have. And so what is that? So then he said, yes, she dances better than you. So then the wife dressed and danced so beautifully that the husband stayed home that night. But then the next day, even though she danced and she cooked, he still went to the prostitute. So she said, well, what is it that she has that I don't have? He said, well, you know, she kicks me, she blasphemes me, she says all bad words. She's really bad to me. And the wife said, well, I can't do that. I love you. And that's how I relate to you. So in the material world, people are choosing to be kicked. Even though there's so many problems, they see there's so many problems, they prefer this way of learning. And they say, yes, I'm learning. This is my life, and there are life is problems, it means problems. So this is their way of life. But the devotees, they choose the path of love. They choose the path of attraction to Krishna. So in the purport, it says, he comes to understand the world around him, which he accepts more or less as his world. So people in this world, they see the world through their own eyes. Atmanam manyate jagat. Yeah, there is a saying in one of the scriptures of this world. It's called the Talmud, and I don't know where that's from, whose scripture that is. But it's a very nice saying that we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. So when we look at the world, some people, they see a businessman, he'll come up to a forest and he'll see dollar signs. He'll see, oh, this so much money I can make from this forest here. A young boy and young girl, they will think, oh, this is a nice place for us to go and enjoy. Different people, they see the world according to their different conceptions. And according to the Vedic knowledge, which is being described here, there is a progression of conceptions of life. And the first level is called Anamaya. Does anybody know what this Anamaya conception is?
I eat, therefore I am.
Very good. And this we can see with the infant. The infant is always, all he thinks of is to eat, or his mother. When he sees his mother, he thinks of milk. Now, that's not you. You're not an infant. Don't worry. So the infant, if you watch the behavior of the infant, he will take how he knows what a thing is, he'll take it and put it in his mouth to see. It doesn't matter if it's food. It doesn't matter what it is. But that's how he knows what it is. He will taste it. Oh, this is hard. This is soft. This is a very bad taste, or like that. So that's how he knows. So this is anamaya. And some even grown-ups are in this conception that if I can eat nicely, then that is the goal of my life. Then I'm happy. If I eat, I'm happy. Then the next level, pranamaya, you add to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So if I can have a nice place to live, then I'm happy. And then jnanamaya is I think, or I feel, therefore I am. As Prabhuji said, I eat, therefore I am. So jnanamaya means I think, therefore I am. This is life. Life means to explain philosophy, to understand philosophy, the arts, music, and these different things. And then finally, the fourth level is vijnana maya. And this is the realization that I am not this body. I am a spiritual being. And in Bhagavad Gita, this is the first instruction of Krishna, that you are not this body, vijnana maya. So in one of the beginning verses of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to Arjuna, he gives his first instruction. And this instruction is a symptom of a person who knows he's not this body. Can anybody remember from Bhagavad Gita the first thing that Krishna told Arjuna to do? He said one thing to him, and it was, I'll give you a hint, Matra Sparshas Tukumteya Sitoshna Sukadukata. Yes. Oh, that's a good thing to do. That's in chapter 4. Yeah? No problem. Yes. He can co-tolerate. That's it. Tolerate. Tamas titisha sabharata. So you can just tolerate in this life. Then you're really going to get ahead. And you'll be happy in this world because there's so much you have to tolerate. There's so much, especially if you live in Vrindavan. Even in the spiritual world, Vrindavan Dham, you have to tolerate so many things. Now they're digging up the roads and they're demolishing the whole front of the temple. And what can we do? You know, they want to make the road bigger. So 12 feet, we lost 12 feet of land in front of our temple. They demolished the gate and everything. And on top of that, there's the loudspeakers going. And they're digging up all the roads to make sure that the sewage will be underneath. But in the meantime, all the sewage is on top. So... And there's dust everywhere, and everyone is wearing like masks over their heads because it's just impossible to breathe. So we have to tolerate and realize that we're not this body, even in Vrindavan Dham. And this is a level of Vijnanamaya. Now, for devotees, there is a higher level, and that is Anandamaya, and that is when we connect with Krishna in the form of the holy name, in the form of the deities. And we see Krishna everywhere, influencing our every thought, our every activity, all our events. So whatever we do, we should see his connection with Krishna. Krishna began this instruction of Uddhava Gita to Uddhava with 24 gurus. Means how to see the material world not as objects of sense gratification, but as instructing gurus. Now, you people live near the ocean. So the ocean was teaching many things. The ocean is very grave. So many rivers may go into the ocean, although I've heard it's a drought here in Melbourne, so maybe it's not applicable for you. But in India, during the rainy season, the rivers fill up and they all flow into the ocean, but the ocean is not disturbed. And in the same way, in the summertime, the water is being evaporated from the ocean, and the ocean is not disturbed. So how this relates to the devotee is that the devotee, sometimes he gets lots of money, he gets lots of opulence, but he's not disturbed by it. And sometimes he loses everything, and he's not disturbed. So that is an example of how to see the ocean, how to see good qualities in the ocean, in the wind. The wind is detached. It's blowing everywhere, even picking up bad odors and good odors, but it's still detached. It keeps going. So this is the beginning conception of God in this world. We see God in the elements, and this is our world. But now Krishna is revealing in this verse the one who is behind all these elements. So in the purport it is said, as he progresses in spiritualization, breaking through the barrier of bodily identification and realizes the existence of the eternal soul, he gradually identifies himself as part and parcel of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. So at first we see the sun and the moon are my eyes, I am the taste of water. Of course, we can keep seeing that as well. I am the heat, I am the drought. So now we can see Krishna is the drought, and I am the rain. And then after this conception, we progress to the conception of the inner guide, the super soul. So the super soul is always with us. And if you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for some time, it's very difficult to get away from the super soul. The super soul is always there with you, telling you, go to Krishna, come to me, don't do these material things. Sometimes we even try, a devotee tries to get away, but he can't get away. Once Srila Prabhupada said, now you're caught, you can't get away. My husband, he was slow to come. In his initiation letter, because in the old days we used to write letters to Prabhupada to ask for initiation. So in his initiation letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote to my husband that, now you are very slow to come. Now you have come, Krishna will never let you go. So I see he keeps trying to get away sometimes, but he can't get away from Krishna. There was one devotee I was just in Christchurch, and he also left the temple for some time, and he got a girlfriend. But then the first time he went to his girlfriend's house, he saw a picture of Krishna. First thing when he walked in, he said, I can't get away from you. You're everywhere. And she didn't know what happened because she wasn't a devotee. And she said, I thought it was just a nice picture. I bought it in the market. And it's just like you have there's a father and a son. And the son is sitting with his girlfriend in the living room, and he's thinking, I want to enjoy. But then the father comes and sits down next to them. And so what can the son do? He's thinking, I wish he would just go away for a few minutes so I can be with my girlfriend alone. But no, he's there watching. So we can't get away from super soul. The super soul is in our heart, and the super soul is watching, and we just can't get away from him. And so this is another level of vijnana, to realize that super soul is there, and to take shelter of the super soul in our heart. Now there's another progression, another meaning of vijnana given in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. There's a progression of verses which are very famous from verse 16 to 20, 21. Shushusho Shadaranasya Vasudeva Katharuchi. So it begins with association of devotees serving the great souls. And from this association, one gets attachment or a taste for hearing Krishna Katha.
then Shinvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana,
and when you're hearing and chanting Bhagavatam especially, then the super soul in the heart clears out all the dirty things from the heart. And then Nashta Prayesh Abhadreshu, all the dirty things are out. You come to Paktir Bhavati Naishtiki, and that is the level of Nishta.
And in a lecture on that verse, Srila Prabhupada said that it says almost everything is cleared out. You don't even need to clear everything out to get to Nishta. Almost everything.
Prabhupada, at one point, he said 75%. Perhaps you are aware of this very famous class of Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, where he was telling the devotees, you have to become 100% free from all material desires before you can go back to Godhead. And so when he said that, the devotees were very unhappy and they were kind of looking very hopeless. So he said, okay, 90%. And the devotees were still looking very unhappy. And then he said, okay, 80%. And then he got down off the Vyasasana and he wrapped his chadar around his neck and he said, 75% free. So we should follow Srila Prabhupada because he's giving us a very nice concession. 75%, if we are free of all material desires, he will take us back to Godhead. So my god sister Mahamaya, she went to Srila Prabhupada afterward, after the class, and she asked him, Srila Prabhupada, is it true that if we're 75% free, you will take us back to Godhead? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, because I have the key to the back door. We cannot go in the front door with our qualities and our qualifications. In Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to go in the front door. So we got to follow Srila Prabhupada. He'll let us in from the back door. So if at least, what does the 75% mean? The next verse, Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava Kama Loba Dayasriye, means to become free from ignorance and passion, these lower modes of nature. If we can just get to the mode of goodness in this life, Prabhupada will take us back. So this is... So then, after becoming free of modes of passion, ignorance, evam prasana manaso, bhagavat bhakti yogata, bhagavat tattva vijnanam. So then, when we get to the mode of goodness, in that level, in that stage of nishta, mode of goodness, we become happy. So if you're not happy, it means you haven't arrived yet in the mode of goodness. It takes time. Mode of goodness symptom is that you're happy, because you're freed of the two lower modes. You don't become angry and you don't lament and you don't desire for anything. Krishna provides everything. So this is the level of vijnana from the first canto of Bhagavatam. Bhagavat tattva vijnana. You know Krishna. And even if you don't know all about Krishna, you're trying to know him. Srila Prabhupada, one time in his lecture on the verse Janma Karma Chame Divyam, in the fourth chapter, which means that if you just know my birth and activities and truth, and after leaving this body, you will not come back. So Krishna promises that in the Bhagavad Gita, but Srila Prabhupada is more merciful than Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, even if you don't know Krishna, if you're just trying to know Krishna, you can go back to Godhead. So that is our attempt. We are trying to understand Krishna. So in the purport, one progresses again. As one progresses in one's realization of the Supreme Lord in his own abode in the spiritual sky, one gradually becomes disinterested in the material universe and ceases to define the Supreme Lord in terms of his temporary manifestations. So this is a high level of realization. This is also vijnana. And no more do you think, oh, to see Krishna means to see the sun and moon are his eyes. Now, this is a very huge conception. If the sun and moon are his eyes, that means he's really huge. In fact, he's the whole size of the universe. So when you progress, then a sweetness begins to enter your realization. And you don't see Krishna anymore as the universal form, but it becomes more personal. In this world, Krishna is the creator, he's the destroyer, he's the supreme controller. But in the spiritual world, in Vrindavan, he's not. He's completely controlled by all his devotees, by his devotees' love. Yashoda can tie him up, and Radharani can make him do anything, practically speaking. Bow, put his head on her feet, massage her feet to try to make her
not angry with him. So this is a different type of realization, and this is also a level of vijnana. And because you're so attached to Krishna, you're attracted, this is asakti, then you're not attracted to things of this world. Purport, it says, the self-realized soul in the stage of vijnana is not at all attracted by objects that are created, maintained, and ultimately destroyed. So he gets detachment. So this level of vijnana, where detachment comes, says, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Payojita Janigatyasi Vairagyam Gyanam Chayatvaitukam. That if you just engage in devotional service to Vasudeva, then automatically you become detached. So Prabhupada gives the example of a child. When he's a child, he's attached to so many toys. Toy car, or a girl might be attached to her toy kitchen or toy doll. But when you grow up, automatically you lose your attraction for these toy things, hopefully. Maybe some people don't, but most people, they lose their attraction for these things. They want a real car. They want a real kitchen. They want a real baby. So what's hopefully, of course, now in Kali Yuga, you never know. People could still be attached to these things. Actually, I saw on the airplane there was one lady with a teddy bear. So I think maybe in Kali Yuga you may still be attached even though you're growing up. And there are grown up men also who like to play computer games, just like the children do. So yeah, I saw in the airport too at the children's computer game place, there were also adults there playing computer games. So hopefully, but most likely you do lose your attraction for these things. So in the same way, when you grow up in spiritual life, you lose your attraction for dead material things. And you want to have a complete connection with Krishna. So there is a wonderful verse again in 11th canto, a long time ago, that was in chapter 2. So, but I'll say it anyway, which gives us symptoms of this level of vijnana, detachment. Bhakti pareshana bhava virakti anyatta chaisa chika ekakala prapadyamanasya yathasnatasya stushti pushti shudapaya nakasam. Devotion. Direct experience of the Supreme Lord and detachment from other things. These three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the same way that pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. So bhakti, devotion, and direct experience and detachment. These three are the symptoms of one who is progressing, who is on the level of vijnana. The first thing is bhakti. Bhakti is the same as tushti, or satisfaction. When you're hungry and you eat, the first thing that happens is you're happy. You're happy, oh, this is very nice, prasadam. This tastes so good. So you're satisfied. So when you have bhakti, you also become very satisfied. You don't go looking for other things to do. Bhakti, you're so busy the whole day that you don't even know how to get everything in one day. There's never enough time to do your devotional service. So both of them give pleasure, satisfaction, pareshanu bhava, that is direct experience of the Lord. This is compared to pushti, or nourishment. So when we get experience of the Lord in our lives, this is the nourishment. So an example is like the kirtan, the 12-hour kirtan. That is an example of pushti, or nourishment. Because when you chant the holy name, when you're in that kirtan, you get experience of the Lord. You really feel His presence. And you forget everything else. And you also get pleasure, tushti. So there's devotion there, there's direct experience. And this nourishment, it sustains one's life. And then finally, virakti, detachment comes. Kshudapaya, and this is cessation of hunger. After you've eaten a whole feast, or even overeaten the feast, and someone comes to you and says, here, have another gulab jamun. And you say, oh, I can't possibly. So detachment. You're detached, because you can't possibly eat another bite. So when you realize Krishna, when you come to this level of seeing Krishna in every minute of your life, you become detached. In fact, you become upset if you don't see Krishna. If you're disconnected from Krishna, then you become upset. And so these are the symptoms of the level of vijnana, or self-realization. So although one experiencing Krishna consciousness becomes uninterested in anything other than Krishna, his attachment to Krishna is increasing at every moment. So with every bite, when we eat, we get detachment, we get freedom from hunger, we get satisfaction, and we get nourishment with every bite. And so with every bite in Krishna consciousness, with every service we do, with every kirtan we go to, with every class we attend, then we get nourished, and we get direct experience, and we get detached from doing other things. So this is vijnana. Now how to get it, I told you a few things, and that is coming to class, especially the five most potent forms of devotional service, which we're talking about, but especially chanting the holy name. And In my life, I realized that I started chanting from 10 o'clock in the morning till 10 at night. My first service was Harinam Sankirtan. And we used to go 10 in the morning till 10 and 11 at night. And that really made you detached. We were so detached, we couldn't even know if we were in the body or not. And I remember one time someone asked you, "Are you sick?" And I said, "Well, I don't know if I had fever or ecstatic symptoms." That's how we were in those days, because we were just chanting all the time. And even if we weren't chanting Harinam, we were chanting in the temple waiting for prasad or whatever we were doing. And then after that, after I left Harinam, I had to chant my 16 rounds. It became sort of a duty, something like the medicine I had to take. So sometimes it becomes like that. Okay, well, it's my duty. I must do this. Because in Gita, Krishna says, if you follow these regulative principles, you will get a desire to attain to me. So after 24 years of doing that as a duty, then I started to do a little japa reform, and the center shifted from me to Krishna. Then I understood, oh, I should chant to please Krishna. I should chant because it makes Krishna happy. And so at one point in our life, the center shifts from being I am the center of the world to Krishna is the center of the world. So we get the seed of our devotional creeper, we plant it, and we water it with the water of Shravan Kirtan Jal. And finally, it grows and grows, it pierces the universe, and it goes and takes shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And there, the creeper produces fruits. Fruits. Does anybody know what the fruit is of the creeper that goes to Goloka Vrindavan? What is that fruit?
Love of Godhead.
Yes, very good. Krishna Prema, love of Godhead. So once you get these fruits, what do you do with them? Distribute. You're a Sankirtan devotee. Yes, you can eat them also. You eat and then you distribute, just like Lord Chaitanya. He ate and he distributed the fruits. Very good. So this is vijnana. This is realized knowledge. You see Krishna in your life every moment, and you try to give others this fruit that you have received from Srila Prabhupada. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments on this verse? Yes. So your question is that should we move from Jagannath to Radha Krishna?
To Radha Krishna, because in a sense Jagannath and Radha are not in that form, they're not eternal forms of Krishna.
Well, they are a form of Krishna. If you study deeply, then you will find they are eternal. And when Lord Chaitanya looked at Jagannath, he saw Krishna. He saw Shyam Sundar, Krishna. The form of Jagannath is described in a deeper level, that Jagannath is Krishna feeling separation from Radharani. Lord Chaitanya is Radharani feeling separation from Krishna. So when they meet, there is they feel solace from their separation. So it is described that it is an eternal form. Another story explains that it's when Krishna was in Mahabhav, Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra, when they left Dwarka. This is Rath Yatra, bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. Then when they came into Vrindavan, they assumed these forms. It is a form of bhava, or ecstasy. And it is an eternal form, actually. Puri is an eternal dham, and the form of Jagannath is an eternal form of Krishna. Yes, in the spiritual world. So it may appear here in this universe, halfway in the day of Brahma, but that doesn't mean it's not in the spiritual world. Even Krishna only comes once in the day of Brahma. When did he appear? In the 28th millennium? Vaivasvata Manu. So Vaivasvata is the 7th Manu. So Krishna didn't come until the 7th Manu, in the day of Brahma. Lord Chaitanya came also in that time. So does that mean he's not eternal? No, they're eternal forms. They only come once in the day of Brahma. Once in the day of Brahma. But they are eternally existing in the spiritual world. Yes. Any other questions or comments? Anirudha Prabhu, you have something to say about that? Yeah. It's a deep question. You can do more research about that. Fine. If you read Gaur Govinda Maharaj's, of course, maybe you should wait until you read all Prabhupada's books. So I'll just give you a little. I have given you some information about that. And so you can know that don't worry if you're attached to Jagannath. You don't progress. You can keep your attachment. But your vision may change. Your vision may change and you will start seeing Jagannath as Balabha. As Balabha. Shyam Sundar. Your vision may change of him. Just like at first our vision may appear when we see the deities, we don't see them actually. We just see the external. But as you progress in spiritual life, we see that they're actually there. They are there for us. And there, one time I was in a pujari, I was a pujari in Calcutta, and our temple president, Gargamuni, was taking pictures of the deities. And he noticed sometimes that the deities look different. I said, yes, if you sit and look at the deities, you'll see every minute their expression is changing. It's not the same all the time. It's quite different. And there's Jananivas. One time he was asked by a non-devotee in Mayapur, an Indian person, that what are the deities made of? No, that was the wrong question to ask Jananivas. And so then Jananivas said to this person, what is your heart made of? That's what the deities are made of. If your heart is brass, the deities are brass. If your heart is stone, deities are stone. If your heart is love, the deities are love. So that's what the deities are made of. So we need to Primanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. We see with the eyes of love, we will see Krishna, Shyama Sundara. Your Ishtadev. Who is your Ishtadev? And you will see Balaram as Balaram, Subhadra as Subhadra, Jagannath as Shyam Sundar. That is the vision of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any other questions? Okay. Yes, you have a question? No. All right. All glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda.